Hello, and welcome to Ink and Worm, all things reading and writing. This is going to be my second week, but I'm pre-recording. We're recording live, not live, but will be usually, from the basement of the Velo Bike Shop in Brooklyn, which is really exciting. And we are going to have a great time. So really fast, WikiHow has instructions for blowing a kiss. The first step is you need to focus your eyes upon your loved one. Second step is you need to make eye contact with them. So you look at them, and then you need to make sure that they're looking at you. Optionally, you can flutter your eyelashes. 3, slowly pucker up sassily. 4, put your hands to your mouth. Just one hand. Put your hand to your mouth. 5, kiss your hand smoothly. 6, slowly flip your hand so it is facing outward. Optionally, you can keep your hand level to your chin. And 7, lightly blow the kiss towards your crush. So, you have the instructions you need to blow kisses. My name is Swan, and I'm blowing kisses to you from Radio Free Brooklyn. And I am excited. So, I will now introduce my guests. I have my dear friend James Lyons, and he is the author of the blog View from a Boxcar, an anthropologist who has hitchhiked on 7 continents. He's currently living and writing in Portland, Oregon, and he's working on a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective Hobos and a memoir of his life adventures and philosophy. He also has the best hands and eye wrinkles I've ever seen. Elsa is my second guest. How are you?
Good.
Ford? You go by Ford?
Elisa.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
Nervous.
Ford. Ford's good.
Ford. I was going to say Ford and I'm nervous, so. Ford is my friend. I met you in Utah and then you came out here and then I've come here recently. So we've been passing ships, but always great times when we're together. She is an actor, model, performer, and a graduate of the University of Nottingham. She promotes positive thought and chasing your dreams with a fury. She is also writing a memoir and is focusing on sharing matters, issues, and experiences, hoping to help others realize that they're not alone. And she is focused on self-discovery and finding your independent journey in life. Mm-hmm. And I happen to know from social media that you had an interesting experience with books recently where you met someone. I was hoping you could share.
I did. Oh, man. Ugh. It's been pretty magical lately. I don't know if it's just what's going on in my own journey, but I've been meeting more and more people who are kind of on the same vibe. The other day, I was just walking home from class, and I happened to stop by, I was walking by NYU, and as you may know, there's a lot of guys out there displaying a ton of old books and memoirs and things, and it's pretty magical. I met this guy, Zach, who was selling some books, and it just so happened the first box that I look into, right next to each other were a couple of my favorite books, Man's Search for Meaning, and I'm a little nervous. Man's Search for Meaning and
I think it was The Art of Loving.
The Art of Loving, right? Yes.
Which I haven't actually read, but I like the title.
Oh, that's the first thing that grabs my attention, honestly, is, like, the titles and then whatever the book looks like on the outside.
Yeah, I totally, judging by the covers.
Right. Eric Fromm and, it was pretty cool because they were literally right next to each other and he saw my reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty expressive with my facial expressions and... he questioned, and I said, this is a pretty cool moment because these two books have touched me in so many ways and helped me through some rough times.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then he said, well, they're not in any order.
They're just randomly placed there for you to see.
Like, well, that's why it's so magical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And James, you were telling me the other day about what you've been reading. Do you want to tell me more? Or go into it?
I wouldn't call it as magical of an experience, but I'm staying in a town called Washougal, on the Columbia River with a girl named Sahara and my girlfriend Erica. And Sahara had some friends visiting, and one of them started reading from a book, just spontaneously. And the book sounds like the book I want to write. It's amazing. It's about a kid who hitchhiked around the world. It's part one of 12 parts, and he does the best job I've ever heard of someone describing what it's like to ride on a freight train. And the book is just magical. I'm just absolutely stunned by it. It makes me laugh, and I don't cry when I read it.
Aw. I've never ridden on a freight train. Will you tell me what it's like?
I'm not prepared with the passage.
Not from the book. I mean, your experience. I think that's something that many people haven't done.
Well, that's what I liked about the passage. You did so much better of a job than I can do. But what it's one of the noisiest things you'll ever experience in your life.
Even more so than New York? Have you been to New York?
Oftentimes you can't hear a person right next to you talking at you. If you go through a tunnel, then your vision goes black because it's black. The air fills with this acrid smoke, and the sound is just cacophonous. It sounds like the gates of hell, screeching and gnashing. I mean, it really feels like you're in hell.
How does it compare to, like, a subway experience? Is it, like, the similar sounds just, like, exaggerated or, like, exponentially louder?
Exponentially louder, and the sounds aren't really the same. There's these screeching sounds, which are the brakes, and then there are grinding and pounding sounds.
I keep hearing buttons being pushed. Are you pushing buttons on your phone?
It was my pocket. One time traveling through the mountains of Nevada on a freight train, it was really my first freight train trip, I woke up in a tunnel, but it felt to me like I had died because I didn't realize I'd been in a tunnel or was going into a tunnel. And I woke up and I couldn't see anything, or it was just this cacophonous screeching, wailing sound. And the air was thick. I could feel, and I felt like I could see the air. And in that twilight of waking, it felt for a moment like I had died and gone to hell. And I was just sitting there in hell.
What is this book called again? You said it's a series of 12?
Yeah, he's only written the first one. It's called Train Songs. I only know the guy's first name, and it's Walker. And it's not going to be, it's only being sold by word of mouth and by hand.
People wanted to go online, they couldn't find it?
It's available, I think, on Kindle as an ebook, but for a physical copy, you have to get it from Walker.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of cool. Have you met Walker? Or you got it from somebody else?
I got it from Savannah? Yeah, from a friend of Walker's.
Her name? Sahara or Savannah?
Sahara. Sahara kind of is a character in the book, too, indirectly. She doesn't actually show up, but she shows up in one of the stories, and she was telling me the inside track on one of the stories, how actually it's something that she did, which I think is an important piece of writing, being able to take that liberty and write the story rather than tell the story. but...
Interesting. And you said you had two books sitting in front of you?
Oh, yeah. The other one is Wildwood, which feels like a story that you would read to
me. Wildwood. Okay. And tell me about it. Convince me to read it, because I read a lot lately, so I'm very discriminant about what I spend my time on.
Yeah, it's written by Colin Molloy. He's one of the members of the Decemberists.
Oh.
At least that's what I'm told. And it's a story about this young girl who heads off into the woods of Portland, and there's magical creatures there, and the magical things that happen. I mean, it's...
Magical creatures, like, rooted in reality or fantasy?
Rooted in fantasy. Some of the places are real, but all the characters are very much, like, coyotes speak, and birds speak, and...
Do they speak like humans, or do they have, like, distinctive animal... speech patterns?
No. They speak and act like humans. They wear clothing.
Okay. Oh. Nice.
Yeah. No. It's exactly something that like something you would read me. And you might want to explain to the listeners.
Yeah.
You used to read me books all the time.
So James and I met at a party years and years ago, 7 years ago. And we quickly became friends, and at some point in our relationship, I started reading to him, possibly because I'm one of those people that reads so much that it really does detract from my relationships, because you can't engage with people when you're reading. You're like, I'm reading, leave me alone. So it became a way for us to like have things to talk about, and also for us to spend time together while I was reading, I think. So we've read quite a few things, and the themes that have emerged is we tend to... That's okay. We have Tom helping out with any technical questions I have. So we found out that I ended up reading a lot of books with strong female leads, and a lot of books that were borderline fantasy, but in trying to be a rational fantasy, like, this could happen and this is why, maybe? What do you think, James?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
And I think the most fun I've ever had reading aloud or otherwise has been Fablehaven. What was your favorite so far, James?
Fablehaven,
hands down. Have you read that?
No.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
I'm, like, trying to write all these down.
Well, the good news is that we're recording this, and it will be broadcast on the 29th, and then it will be archived, so you can go back and listen to yourself. And
love doing that.
Yeah, and catch all the books. And I'll also, obviously this is evolving, but I will also have, like, links to things that we talked about.
That's amazing.
And to you guys. So for listeners, if you're, like, scrambling to find pen and paper, don't worry. Just, you know, Ink and Worm. Google it. You'll find it, and we'll get you the information. Yeah, so Fablehaven is really great. It's the premise begins with these two siblings going to their grandparents' house, and they're kind of dragging their feet. They don't really want to go. And then they get there, and it's kind of like, okay, grandma's house, that's pretty great. And then they start to have some strange things happen, and then eventually discover that their grandparents are the caretakers for a reserve for wild creatures, like mythical creatures and magical creatures and all kinds of good and evil creatures. And, of course, many adventures ensue. So, yeah, it's a fun read. It's geared more towards a younger audience, but was still just fun. It was kind of like watching a movie that was made for kids, but you're watching it and you're like, this is so great. So, yes.
Well, I think of it as if it's made for children, so it was perfect for you and me, Swan.
Because we're young at heart. James is eternally 14. And I'm...
That's the rumor on the street.
Rumor on the street. And I'm, like, you know, mentally... Maybe 16 is what James thinks. I don't know. I think I think I go back and forth. So
I feel like I'm an old soul trapped in a young body.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I think it's more of like with a child's like mind, you know?
Yeah.
The unlimited is possible.
You see things, perhaps, that people don't see.
Right, or just like the sense of, wow, I feel like there's so many journeys that have taken place in such a short amount of time of like the time spectrum, I guess, of what we as humans like limit ourselves to.
Which is true. You've been like back and forth across the continent a couple times.
Yeah, it's pretty, I feel very fortunate to have been able to, I mean, I really do think it's possible if that's something you want in life. It's all available. It's really magical, and it doesn't have to be, you know, oh, I'm going to a resort and I've saved enough money, da da da. Like, money is kind of irrelevant in the fact of adventure, I think.
Yes, that's a good point. James, you have tons of money, right?
infinite amount
of money and adventures. I think all three of us have had some pretty fantastic experiences that have come about not as a result of money, despite it, I would say, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And James likes to, I like to worry about money, and James likes to tell me that it's not real.
Mm-hmm. I'm on that same page. When I knew I was going to be speaking with you, James, I immediately was flashed back to our time on the Sprinter and like going to the casino, dancing in the Sprinter. Like, that was such a magical experience. That was an adventure.
I think for the last time I saw you, we danced on the top of the Sprinter.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember we did a lot of dancing in general.
What is the Sprinter of which you are speaking,
James?
it's my home, but it's a Sprinter van. Mine's a Freightliner Sprinter van, but they're made by Mercedes, and it's big enough to do all the things you need to. Stand up to put your pants on. Make breakfast in the morning, mm-hmm. and sleep a good night's sleep.
And you decked it out.
And have a mad dance party driving cross country.
Yeah. Was there a giraffe on the side of your Sprinter at that point in time, or was that afterward?
I think it was
afterward. That was long afterwards.
Yeah,
Well, no.
Because you had just decked it out inside. I believe.
I had only started on the process.
Right.
It's much different now than when you saw it on board.
Did it have a cooker? Did it have like the induction burner?
It was.
No, it didn't.
Not there yet.
In the fridge.
No, but
it was like in the process.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. The stereo was in it. It had a. It definitely had the bed in the closet, but it didn't have the kitchen.
But you were describing what you were about to be building, I believe. Like, you were telling me all about it. That's so cool.
And it's always evolving, in my experience. There's always like, and now, and the next thing.
So
to get some verbal storytelling... James, do you want to, like, describe your Sprinter for listeners who may have not encountered such a creature?
They're kind of nondescript, but the funny thing is, if you're in Manhattan right now, if you were to step out onto the street and look both directions within 5 minutes, you'd see three or four. But you probably don't think you've ever seen one. They're big cargo vans that are small enough to drive comfortably on the road. They'll fit in a normal parking space, but they're tall enough for me to stand in, and I'm 6'3". I have a full-size bed in it with two closets, and a little kitchenette, so a little burner, a sink, a fridge.
So it's like similar to like an RV type thing, but tiny.
Yes. Except if you looked at it, you wouldn't think it was an RV. It just looks like a van on the outside. Although currently there is a giant giraffe. It's all yellow. It's it used to be a DHL truck. And currently there is a black giraffe on the side of it that my brother-in-law did while I was visiting him in Goleta, him and my sister and their kids. And one day he and my niece decided it needed a giraffe. So they just put a giraffe on the side. It's surfing. I love that they didn't ask me if they could do it.
They just did.
They just did it. And I can't imagine a better gift.
Oh,
it's very fitting. It seems like it was made there. So, quick station ID, you are listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a pre-recorded episode, but usually live Sundays at 2. Thanks for tuning in. And please, if you have thoughts or feedback, let me know. Twitter, Facebook, email, all of those are Ink and Worm. So pretty easy to find. And then also, I wanted to talk about the visual impact of the Sprinter. So van has two doors in front and then the sliding door on one side. And you're just like, oh, big yellow van. You open the sliding door and you're confronted with a shelf of books, like, to your left. And then a narrow passageway with, like, hanging beads and, like, banners. And then just, like, from there, it's just this magical gypsy home.
Yes. So gypsy life.
Gypsy life. And gypsy life always includes books. And they come and go. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Are there any?
Well, yeah, it's important to have books, because especially in your home, and it's my home. And if you don't have books, you're not civilized. That's the way I see it. So, right at the front door is a bookshelf that you can access from inside or outside, and it's a lending library. So take a book, leave a book.
Yes. I love that.
And the only rule is that the shelves stay full, perhaps.
Yep. Yep.
Have you been into any readings in the city? Like book readings, Ford?
No, only scripts. Only script readings.
That makes sense. That's your field. And that's a similar thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I recently have attended a script writing class at this place that I really love called Kimball Studio on 14th and 5th. If you're interested in something like that, they really have an amazing staff of people that are super talented and very loving. I had never taken a script writing class, and they had a lot of insight. It's cool to listen to people's stories. I did get to attend The Moth in New Orleans, which was pretty cool. I went to the Grand Slam in the beginning of this year. It was the first one they had held, and it was pretty cool. Storytelling is pretty fun, so.
That just got a lot better. I was confused about the mics.
Oh, are we good?
So, yeah, you sound much better. Does it sound better to
you? Yeah, wow, ooh.
I'm so, so glad that I'm learning, and thank you for your patience. So I was a tiny bit distracted. We were talking about your screenwriting class. And
oh,
you
yeah.
talked about this school before in terms of, like, just how amazing. And you've gotten some experiences in work from it as well.
Totally, yeah. I've been there almost a year now, and have just met a ton of amazing people. And I have been constantly taking this class from Dan Puck. which is a ballistics class. A lot of people don't know what that is. It's essentially improv. It's really meant for anyone, I think. I don't think it's just for actors. I think it's for all humans, because you get to tap in to different parts of your body and emotion and kind of bring it out into real life and kind of validate that it's a real thing and play it out, which is fun. You get to play with adults.
Yeah, so. It seems like a great way to have expression.
Mm-hmm.
And like that finding your voice thing that right. so many people seem to struggle with, being able to express things.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see the process, like to go to one of the beginner classes and make up and see people share for the first time. And like I said, most of these people aren't necessarily quote unquote actors, but it's a beautiful beautiful thing to watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have been going to readings to try and get ready for this show, and there is a crazy amount of things happening every day, every week in New York. So I might be able to incorporate that. And a big shout out, if anyone has any ideas, I'm definitely all ears, because there's so much going on here. I'd love to share it more with the world. But yeah,
I'd love to go with you. Yeah, I've seen your social media, like on Instagram or Facebook, and I've been watching the process of you going out. I was like, whoa, I didn't even know that about you. So it's been really cool to watch.
Oh, great. Well, I guess in that vein, I will talk a little bit about. So again, this is going to be pre-recorded. So usually live. This might be outdated and might change, but a couple things happening is Gotham Writing is having a free event on the 6th. They're having a fiction writing kind of jam session class at McNally Jackson Books. And there's tons of stuff happening at Book Court in Brooklyn on Court Street. Pretty much the 1st through the 6th, there's something every night. They have a poetry thing on the 1st. A nonfiction event with Ginger Strand on the 2nd, a graphic novel evening, and then on the 3rd, and then the 4th, they're having a conversation about graphic novels and comics. So if that's your beef, they have some kids' events on the weekend. The community bookstore is having their holiday book fair. So if you're thinking about books for the holidays, who isn't? Mm-hmm. And then also Housing Works will be having their sale. So 30% off more if you're a member. And Housing Works is great. Have you heard of them? So for people that don't know, Housing Works is this amazing nonprofit bookstore that I happened upon. And all of their products are donated. And they have a cafe as well. And pretty much every profit goes to helping people with AIDS and helping them with their treatment and helping them finding homes, because a lot of them are homeless and just doing this really amazing work. So if you are in the area, Housing Works, if you haven't heard of it, check it out. It's really great. So that's just a couple of things that are happening that I found. It's too much to go through every bookstore and every event, but I'm all about local, so find your local bookstores and see what's happening there. And we'll go from that. So talking about writing, let's talk about what you guys are writing lately. James, we haven't heard from you in a minute. How about you tell us?
Well, I'm having a really hard time writing anything, quite honestly. I write things and then I get rid of them, and I write and I get rid of them. The book that I was telling you about, Train Song, is I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be able to motivate me to write. I haven't been able to write on my blog for about 6 months just because words don't come out of my hands right now. It's just really frustrating and bizarre. So yeah, that's what I'm writing. Almost nothing.
You're writing blocked. Have you ever tried forced writing, like timed writings? I'm not trying to problem solve. I'm asking.
No, I haven't. It would probably be a good idea. We actually talked about that not long ago, about several writing exercises that I could
about you work telling on. Me that it would be a really good idea for me to do, but not. Aren't we so good at that? We're like, you know what would be really good if you could just do this, and yeah. It's like the same
Take
thing that
advice.
You should be doing. Yes.
Oh, no, Swan, do as I say, not as I do. You know how this works.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
I may have a solution or some advice. For me personally, if I'm having a hard time making time or just don't know really what I'm want to write, since it's like, this is fact because it's written out, like, I did this, you know? I don't know how you're getting or disposing of the things that you have written. Is there like a process that you go through with that, or are you just like, do you type it out? Do you handwrite it? Are you like burning it after you're done? Is there like
what I do is I write and then I immediately edit, removing words,
uh-huh.
and I end up removing all of the words.
Do you ever record yourself? Like, do you ever just like talk to yourself?
I played around with that a couple months ago, but I need people asking me questions because I bore myself pretty quickly.
Well, if you ever need someone, I love talking. I tend to like go on random tangents because I have like so many things going on in my head. But sometimes if I'm not in a place to write or whatever, I've been at least recording. We have these handy dandy phones now that have all this cool technology, which I'm kind of not always great at, but just the mic on my phone. I've just been like recording some stuff here and there, and it's just there for an option. It's been helpful for me, at least.
I've used the voice thing. I walk dogs. And it's really nice when you're just out and you have an idea to get it down. And then I'll go through my notes and I have the most random things. And like 30% of the time I'm like, what? Was that about? But I would also say, James, you have a tendency to write on your iPad is like your mode of choice, right? Because it's with you. And I do remember a period of time where you talked about writing a lot, and I remember it was an emotional time, and so you're processing, but you were handwriting. What is your experience when you're writing by hand versus writing on a tablet?
Well, I've never transcribed anything from my handwriting to anything else. I've only ever handwritten things and then left them as handwritten things. So I don't know. I mean, I've got a bunch of journals.
You need an assistant.
Well, so the only times I used to do that were when I was in high school and junior high school, where I would write assignments and then my mother would type them up. I had was so spoiled. I could write an assignment at night and then hand it to my mother in the morning, and she could type so well that she would type it by the time I was finished breakfast, which she had made for me. Yes, I'm spoiled.
You are spoiled, but you see it as a blessing, so that's good.
Did she offer? Did she, like, want to do it?
Oh yeah, no. This was
that's how my
this
mom
was a standing. Yeah, no,
the
it was
editor.
It was almost as if it would have been an inconvenience for her not to do it.
Right,
she's just wanting to be involved. I think you speak to something else too, though, that a lot of people experience, which is that editor. You write something and then immediately you take it back. And a lot of things I've been reading lately say, like, just keep writing. Like, the editor is a different process. You just write, get it all out. And then when it's all out, that's when you go back, you switch to the editor, and you are brutal to your own writing. So is that your experience?
Oh, that's interesting.
Also, I think, like, if you're getting it out, you have some kind of inspiration, or you're like, oh, my God, that's what I've been thinking about, like, for a long time, and now I have words. And then I reread it, and I'm just still stuck in my thought process. And it's words on a piece of paper, but then I'll read it to someone, and then they catch something that I totally... Because it's all in my own voice, usually. I'm not really catering to a certain ear. It's just my voice. And then someone's like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, is there another way? Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't even see that.
Or like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah.
Well, I think, and I love that we're talking about how much interacting supports writing, because I just truly believe that's like the case for me. I don't necessarily know what to think about my writing until it's reflected back at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then this level of distance or degree of separation or something allows me to look at it and say, oh, okay, right. I can work with that. Whereas in the moment, I'm just like, what am I trying to say here? I don't know.
Not overthinking it is like kind of key, huh?
And James, I would encourage you to revisit your journals. That's something I started doing recently.
Me too.
And I have two boxes and I'm sitting here moving across the country and being in all kinds of adventures and wondering what's in these two boxes that I keep bringing with me everywhere. So I'm exploring it, and it's a really strange process. Have you gone back to your journals?
Oh, yeah.
Have you looked at them?
It's interesting and very, it makes me really happy because, I mean, I'm a strong believer in journals. I don't even use the calendar on my phone. I very much urge all you out there to maybe think about stepping into a Strand or getting a Moleskin to carry around with you, you know, because you never know what's going to come out, you know. And I think, I mean, obviously for your day-to-day routine stuff and, oh, I have work at 4 today, let me jot that down. But I'll go back to my calendars and there'll be like random poems that I write or a quote someone said, or like I'll share a story of an interaction that I had with someone. And it's super inspiring to me because I can go back in time, literally to a specific date, even in my calendar, my Moleskin, and say, wow, I was there in 2007, like, what? Like,
yeah, what? I'm experiencing. You know? Like, wow, yeah, I forgot.
And like, it's funny how your voice changes as you go through different experiences
in
life.
Your handwriting, too?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And I, or like the certain days where you enter into your journal where you're like, I'm going to start my journal today, and this is the beginning of 2007, and I'm going to do this every day, and like to not be so hard on yourself, like if you miss a day, you know, it's okay. And as long as it's coming out, you know, it's getting out and getting it out. One of the things I always say is write it out.
Yeah.
Write it out. You don't know. It's very powerful. We're a powerful race, you know, like we can write it out, get it out of your system, you know.
A couple more thoughts on that. I just listened to the On Being podcast with Mary Oliver, and she talks about how if, like, she's definitely like pen and paper, like you write it, and she, you know, is a beautiful poet, but she's also like, spends her days outside with a notebook. Mm-hmm. And that's how her work comes about. So, it's a different process. It's a more tactile, kinesthetic thing. Anyways, you know, just all of these things are ideas.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, totally.
What is your response, James? Are you going to, what is your goal? What is your takeaway? Just kidding.
Well, I'm Well, no, I'm thinking about how I used to always carry a moleskin, and I don't now.
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
But I also have insight, and I'm going to cut you off because I'm rude like that. I have insight that you write more when you are having adventures, when you are traveling and moving and having new experiences and having this solitary peace where you're alone with your experiences. And so your journal becomes your travel companion.
Yeah, that's true. And if I'm with someone, I don't write. And I have a girlfriend right now, so that gets in the way.
So you have to choose, James. Do you want
your moleskin and your
a relationship, or do you want to be a writer? Just kidding.
The funny thing is, people really do, I think, sometimes go that drastic.
It's priorities, like, man. Yeah. You got to figure out how everything fits together. Quick station. What?
What if they don't fit together?
Oh, where there's a will, there's a way. Let's get cliche here. quick station ID. This is Ink and Worm, all things reading and writing. We're on Radio Free Brooklyn and pre-recording this week, usually live from the recording studio underneath the Bushwick Bike Shop. And part of what I want to do is give people an actionable takeaway, something that writers can be like, oh, that's an interesting prompt or something for you to explore in your writing. And in honor of James, I was thinking that descriptions of eyes would be an interesting thing to explore, because how often do you like see or yourself be like, oh, their eyes sparkled, or all the things that you usually hear, but to really like describe eyes as what they are. So that's the prompt for this episode. And eyes.
Mm. And I think we all have pretty magical sparkles in our eye. I've seen both of your eyes and ooh.
Yeah.
Could see oceans.
The windows to the soul of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would like to move into something that I really like that Tim Ferriss does on his podcast. He does something called Rapid Fire. So at the end of his shows, he just asks a series of questions to his guests. So we're kind of moving towards the later portion. I would like to just ask these questions. And if we get carried away on one of them, that's totally fine. And if your answer is, I don't know, that's also totally fine. Sound good?
Sweet.
Okay. First question. What book have you not gotten around to reading?
Oh, my.
like a book that
yeah,
you...
Yeah, Moby Dick.
That was mine, too. That's totally mine. It's been on the list my whole life. Pretty much Moby Dick, and then you haven't read it.
Well, Swan, we need to live in the same town so you can read me Moby Dick.
All right. Agreed.
What have I not gotten? I don't know. Not gotten around. I don't know. I don't think I have no idea. That's my first answer. I don't know. Not
That's
reading.
A good answer.
Wait. Huh? Wait. Ford, say Moby Dick. Moby Dick.
Oh, yeah. Moby Dick.
Have you read Moby Dick?
I haven't.
Yeah. Do you want to read Moby Dick?
My little sister has, and I remember she was telling me she was reading it and that it was a little difficult to read. But if you're going to read Moby Dick, I think it's something that you should read aloud for sure, because it's a pretty in-depth, intense vocabulary.
Yeah.
The vocabulary spectrum in that book is pretty vivid.
Yes, agreed. My mom tried to read it to us kids at one point in my childhood, and we all just, shut it down. We were like, no, but I do remember it being very beautiful. So that's something that I've been trying to revisit, and I just need to live in the same town as my friend James in order to actually do that. Okay, second question. What book do you remember your parents reading to you?
Oh, that would only be scriptures.
Yeah, I was going to say. Really? I knew this was going to, I was going to say, oh, the Book of Mormon.
Yep.
That book.
Spoiler alert.
Used to be Mormon.
We've all recovered very well, though.
I can't. That was something that I was like, I wonder if this is going to come up. I just finished an amazing book, which was the book that I.
I saw. Yeah, you talked about.
It was so good. I wrote a review about it. Can I read it real quick?
Please.
Okay. Oh, also, I've been reading a lot more lately as well since I'm writing more and just to be a little more inspired. And so I'm writing reviews after I read the book. And I wrote books I have read in 2015. This is the one I was going to talk about. The New York Regional Mormon Single Halloween Dance by Elna Baker. This was my review. Oh my God. I have not laughed out loud reading a book in a while, but right when I opened this memoir, my cheeks were hurting. Elna really knew how to capture my attention the whole way through. I really just wanted to keep on reading. I have never read a story in which I could look back at my own in maybe a more positive light. That is being raised Mormon and going through the growing pains of young adulthood. Being the young girl always asking why and never really receiving any real answers. Whether that answer was sought from a leader of the bishopric or God himself. I hadn't realized the fact that this life was to be lived happily, whatever form that may take. I had been so confused and lost thinking about what others thought of me that I had forgotten about what my needs and beliefs were completely. This novel really made me laugh about the things that all my fellow Mormon peers thought to take so seriously. flashing me back to Young Women's, EFY, Relief Society, etc. With a sigh of relief, being a 25-year-old woman who has now found my own truth. I just finished this wonderful story and immediately recommended it to my younger sister, who is now 19, and just figuring out her own power and path in life. Her immediate response was, "That's quite a title. What's it about?" Mm-hmm. I answered, "Just read it. Trust me."
That's so fantastic.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever read a book where, like, you can laugh about the things, whatever, I guess, religion you were born and raised in, and kind of joke with yourself about your discovery in finding your truth when it comes to religion. And she did a really good job about keeping it positive and lighthearted, but like also talking about the funny parts of the faith.
Yeah, the process.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic. It sounds like something that is now on my list. So that's exciting. let's see.
I think that kind of book is something that all recovered Mormons desire to write, to tell that story of what I saw, how I saw it,
and how I've changed,
what it's done to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, that's kind of writing a memoir about it has been a little exhausting, trying to not overthink it and like, you know. Yeah, so we'll talk.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, a lot of people are curious when I mention that I'm from Utah, and they, you know, that's like the second question.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know.
It you feels have some like- time.
Yeah, it feels like a different life, but I digress. Let's see, what are your rituals or routines that are related to reading and writing? Like, do you always have a cup of tea? What are the things that you do when you read and when you write?
Yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask that question. I attempt to have no rituals or routines in life.
That's a ritual or routine in and of itself, right?
Wait.
Thwarted.
Dang it. One thing that I was doing when I was traveling on trains a lot, living in New York, was that
I mean, I stopped a while back, like maybe a couple years ago, listening to music on my phone when in a train or even just walking around the city, just to be more in tune with the present. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with my time? Like, I'm on a train for like several hours in the week. So I started getting inspired by like just looking around and sometimes connecting with people, you know, talking about the eyes connection. We tend to avoid eye contact sometimes since we're in a box for hours in the day. And so I started writing. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to prompt myself to maybe jot something down every time I'm in a train and I have time. It's funny, like going back to your notes or like, I have so many random notes too, where I'm like, and I just took like out like a whole day to figure out what this one word meant. And, so I organized my notes and I made a little category of like, the quotes and inspiration.
What program do you use? Because you're doing this all on your phone, whereas I carry around a notebook. So.
Right. So I go back and forth, like whether it's in my calendar or my notebook or my phone, but just notes. I have an iPhone and just the notes. And it's great because iCloud. iCloud is scary, but it's there and it connects to my computer, and which I've upgraded. And now I have a computer that syncs to my phone. And yeah, so I have a New York thoughts and quotes section in my notes, and it's pretty funny.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get in one more question before we wrap up. Let's ask how you find your books. How do you find the books that you read?
For me,
I was just gonna say laying on other people's countertops and in other people's pockets and in other people's hands.
What are other people reading? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
I mean, when people are like I met some authors the other day that were like, oh, my book's, you know, Amazon bestseller this week or this or that. And I'm like, yeah, but I've never been someone who, I guess, looks up what's in today, like, or what everyone's talking about, just like what shows on.
I'm the worst. I like find it 4 years later and people are like, that's
and then I like
old and I'm like, but it's so good.
Exciting. Yeah. No, I'm totally the same. I love the smell of old books. Mm. That's why like it's great living in New York and having that available, and also like supporting these people who are still super about like the hard book, you know, like
the book
like
business.
In your hand. Yeah, like to flip through pages, and there's just something about it. I have yet to dabble in the Kindle or like audiobook, which I mean, I really want to do more audiobook stuff, but finding books. I usually listen to my sister. My little sister, she's a bookworm for sure. Uh-huh. But I think if I walk by some books and I immediately see something, I'm so visual that I'm like, wow, that looks really cool, or that word sticks out in that title.
I have some recommendations for you.
And I love recommendations. Yeah. Like, I think when people know...
Because that visual piece, when you find a book that really incorporates that, it's just like, oh, this is so magical.
Right. That's why, like, talking about, like, what trip you're on in life and to the people around, who knows, someone may... like have something right up your alley. That happened to me yesterday, actually. And I took a picture of the cover. This girl was working at my friend's coffee stand on Houston and Lafayette, the Peddler. And it's called The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Oh, I
do know
that.
And
book.
She said it's been really fantastic. So great. Word of mouth, usually.
Yeah, word of mouth. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming. Thanks, James, for letting us call you very early in your day. You guys are fantastic friends and fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, people.
yeah.
Ink and Worm, I would love to hear feedback from anyone listening. I'm on Twitter, Facebook at Ink and Worm, and my email is inkandworm@gmail.com. Pretty easy. So thanks for tuning in, and have a beautiful day, and go enjoy a great book. Thank you.
Sun. We are the ones who come from the sun.